Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. Today, I'm here with Killer B.
He is a huge, important member of our community, and I just wanted you guys all to get to know him a little bit more. He always does the spotlight of the day for people in our community. I'm not using the word pleb because not everybody knows what pleb means if they're watching and they're new to this. So I don't want them to get lost right at the beginning. But yeah, he does spotlight of the day, so he does really nice descriptions of what the people's accounts are and who they are, so everyone can get to know them and kind of share their content. So I love today that we get to spotlight you. You couldn't, ignore it. Like, you were just, you stood out, you know, from the rest. So, and everyone just like loves having you around. You're just a ton of fun, and you're very inspirational. One thing about you is you're very, you're very defensive of the community. So I love that about you. And I just want to hear a little bit more about, you know, who you are, anything you want to tell us about your, you know, I know that we're a lot of us are in this fiat mindset, and we have this fiat life that eventually we kind of just hope to sort of move on and just be a full on Bitcoiner. So if you want to tell us anything about what you do for a living or how you got into Bitcoin or things, you know, just let's start with that.
Okay. So I will sort of try to loosely explain, because one thing, and this is actually kind of funny. One of the first conversations I had in a space, not the first, but one of the first, was with AA. And we had both kind of agreed to, like, the one thing that we really would hope, if Bitcoin is going to change anything, it's going to change the perspective of, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. So what do you do? You know, like, what's your, you know, primary source of, you know, of slavery? Yeah. You know? And, you know, it's something to me, it's like, you know, it's sad because there really isn't much of an escape for that. It's not like, hey, what do you enjoy? What's, you know, what brings a smile to your face? You know, what, mm-hmm. you know, what ideals do you stand by, and that sort of thing. Yes. It's almost like we're afraid to have those conversations because we all, you know, we almost already ultimately know, like, oh God, if this person knows that I like this politician or knows that I vote like this, they're, you know, I'm going to be wearing the scarlet letter for the rest of this conversation. I just mm-hmm. assume rather say, hey, well, I work in accounting, or, you know, something, you know, it's something safe you can talk about or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that you bring that up, because I feel like I've thought about that when I bring on guests. I don't want to have the typical, like, who are you? What is your fiat slavery job? You know, that's what it feels like. Like, I totally love that you said that, because that does feel like something I really want to stay away from.
Right.
The typical talk that's just kind of like boring a little bit to people. Like, yeah, it's nice to say what you do, whatever, but it's also nice to highlight maybe your interests and what kind of brought you to Bitcoin. What have you studied, or what kind of things? Because I feel like a lot of us are connected in a way where we have a curious mindset, and we look at problems in the world is kind of what brought us to Bitcoin, but also curious minds about, like, just wondering about things. And, like, I feel like a lot of us, when you talk to people in this space, they've always wondered about how things in the world work around them. So you kind of want to know more about people's passions and interests and what kind of connected them to this path, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of more what's interesting to see, like, what are the connections between all of us and how we found Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, so what I'll try and do, I think, is kind of state, let's see. All right. So there was essentially the fiat slavery that I was in at first, which was remote, I guess. And this is sort of like the Bitcoin journey for me. So there was, I had moved somewhere. I had kind of had to really play multiple parent roles. I raised my daughter on my own, and so I've got to be the rules parent, the fun parent, the listening parent, the, you know, do as I say, not as I do parent, or, you know, every, you know, all of the parents. And, you know, I've also got to be the, you know, be at home when they, you know, when they leave for school, and be at home when they get home from school, because they're still, you know, still young, where, you know, they kind of can't be left on their own for like an hour or two, or, you know, and that sort of thing, you know, waiting for me to come home, you know, late from the office or something to that, you know. So I was doing remote work, and what that afforded me was, it allowed me to drop her off on the bus, and it allowed me to pick her up, you know, from the bus. And, you know, all the while, you know, it didn't impede on the work, you know, so to speak, you know, or if it, you know, if I was working late and had to do extra tasks or things like that, you know, I could break away for 15 minutes, get my daughter situated, make sure she's doing her homework, and then get back to, you know, sending emails that no one's ever going to answer or whatever. So that seemed okay at first, but the stress level of that became it became too much for me. Something that I do try and advocate for, although I'm not very direct with it. I try and be indirect or subtle in a way. My mental health was suffering immensely. And I felt like, you know, there was no way out. I felt like, you know, this is where I'm at and this is all I'm going to be. And no matter how hard I study, no matter how, you know, what skill I acquire, I'm always going to be in this sort of similar, you know, similar skill set, you know, with a couple of extra certificates from Google or whatever have you. I didn't really have enough time to like further, you know, a college career or anything like that. Not to say that I could find the time if I really wanted to, you know, push myself mm-hmm. through it. I don't have the attention span for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're also a parent, and being a single parent is hard. You know, I have my husband and we have three kids, but having a one kid and doing it on your own is as rewarding as it is, and as we wouldn't change it for the world. Like, right. We love them with everything. It's like, you get burnt out because you're trying to, you would love to spend time with them more. You would love to have, spend time to carry on with your own interests and studies, and things that you just enjoy to do. But then this struggling to make ends meet or to like provide for your child and, you know, live this life where you feel like you want to do more, but you feel trapped. So it can definitely affect your mental health.
Right. And that's, and I mean, that's the trade-off with, you know, with fiat slavery, is that you don't get to write your own rules. You know, the rules are written out for you, and every time there's a bend, you almost feel even more indebted, you know, like, oh, well, remember last time when you had to take the day off to, like, you know, to get your daughter's, you know, teeth checked out? And it's like, that's important. I don't know if you realize that, yep. You know, I made this space for you to go do that. So, you know, me asking you to work late is not unreasonable. And it's like, well, yeah, it kind of is actually, but, you know, but whatever.
But, yeah, they don't think about the fact that what your life is like and doing it like single parent, like you can't neglect your kids.
Exactly.
You can't neglect your health.
Exactly. You know, and all the while, I mean, you know, one of my, I guess, drawbacks is that I made, you know, the parenting more of a focus than my own self-care, mm-hmm. you know. And so for a while, I was really running on empty. And that's just a bad recipe. You know, it just, yeah. You know, it leaves, you know, it doesn't leave a lot of space for understanding on anybody's part, because people are used to, they're essentially used to you giving and giving and giving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my case, you know, you feel sort of almost out of place to say, hey, I need a minute, I'm not okay, you know, and I need to take care of myself, or, you know, something like that. But in any case, so I did start making space to take care of myself, mm-hmm. and that became a problem for other people. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it just got to the point where it was, you know, I have to make a choice here. I have to either protect my peace, protect my mental health, or I can keep doing this knowing that I am horribly miserable. Knowing that something in me mentally is breaking, and that it won't matter how much control I have, I've lost all of it. And so, you know, and so I made a decision to change everything. I ended up working, I do manufacturing work. It's a sort of light scale. It's not very big manufacturing. You know, we don't have, like, you know, assembly lines and conveyor belts. You know, we have presses and we make parts. They're operated, you know, each press is operated by a person. You know, it's not a whole lot of machinery going on outside of, you know, the actual machines themselves. You know, they don't mm-hmm. make the parts for us. They just, you know, apply the pressure and the heat and whatnot, and we take care of the rest. And I do a little bit more of the actually, I'm sort of at the next tier of that, where I actually just, you know, set everything up and make sure, you know, everything that goes in is clean and ready to, you know, ready to make parts. I do the changing out of things. So it's a lot of like paying attention to the schedules and a lot of paying attention to, you know, the quantity of things, how much stuff is, you know, done, and, you know, if something's ready to change or it needs to keep going. And that's
That work that you're doing now compared to working at home, is that helping you, your mental health? Is that making you feel better? Is that one of the changes you made that you feel like happy with, that you're actually feeling maybe less stress, or something that's less demanding as far as, you know, trying to keep up with sending emails or whatever it was you were doing before?
Yeah, well, I mean, in one case, it's a lot more physically demanding, which I do kind of like, because once I had made that switch from working, you know, from physical work to more, you know, mental work, you know, it was nice and relaxing for a time, mm-hmm. you know, because I wasn't, you know, putting so much, you know, pressure on my body, you know, day to day. But after a while, it became just more mentally taxing. And I had noticed that, like, I may have been stressed out when I was doing physical work, but, you know, there was a little bit more, I was working out a lot more of my like frustrations day to day. You know, I had an amazing core. So, you know what I mean? Like, I just had, like, there were some benefits to it. I kind of look back on it and say, you know, like, my stomach was a lot flatter back then. Maybe, you know, maybe
that's
I can.
Thing. It's like, I think you realize that, like, you know, you may think that one job is easier than another in different ways, but then sitting at a desk all day and not moving around much, it definitely makes you feel drained. Like, you need to move. Like, your muscles need, you know, you need activity. And it feels like some of these jobs where you're just sitting there at a computer, you aren't getting as much activity. And then after you're done with it, you just feel tired, you know, so you don't have really the energy to get up and use your muscles, you know, and you need that to feel energized, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. Like, there was a time from, you know, dating myself, basically from like the MySpace era into the Facebook era, where I thoroughly enjoyed the digital space. I loved just chatting it up, just being a goofball, having fun, making jokes, saying things wrong, and just being and intentionally like, oops, I'm sorry, you know, just like whatever, just, you know, having a blast and kind of being a clown, you know. And
yeah, a clown. Mm-hmm.
By the time I got into sort of clerical work, I hated because I shifted from all of that stuff. I mean, obviously Facebook just became, you know, a train wreck. But most of my digital space was spent on LinkedIn, and I hate LinkedIn with a passion.
I never use LinkedIn, but I know that people,
it's an abyss worse than X, in the sense of like people trying to sell you things and like sending you emails like, hey, how is your trade going, or whatever, some such nonsense. And no, it's a nightmare. And there was a meme I had seen a while back where it was just a billboard picture, and it just with text on it, and just said like, hey, you know, office worker, or hey, you know, hey, remote assistant who sent about 100, you know, emails today that are never going to get opened or responded to, are you okay? And I looked and I felt attacked. I was like, no, I'm not okay. So, you know, I just kind of like hang on to that now when I think about like, oh, maybe I could go back to like a desk job or something. No, I don't want that. What I do now is a lot better. In the sense of like, you know, my physical health, my mental health, you know, I enjoy it for one. It is very demanding physically, and it has been draining recently, but I, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I wake up and I get to do it, you know, as opposed where I look at like something is like, oh, this is something I have to do, like, oh, time to make the donuts or whatever, like that right. one I sent you, where it's, you know, and I look at that and compare it to, you know, my last fiat slavery job. And I'm like, yeah, I get to do this. I had to do the other thing. I had to do that. Or I, you know, my daughter wasn't getting a meal.
Well, one thing. Yeah, exactly. One thing you said too about, because I feel like I have this attention span that's sort of all over the place too. I consider myself a bit of ADD. But one thing that I learned, like, my husband actually told me that people that have that prefer jobs where they work with their hands or they're doing something where there's a start and a finish, because it helps you focus and helps you feel like you're not just bored out of your mind. So it's like, for me, my my fiat job is, you know, the, I don't want to say slavery, because I feel like my job, I do actually enjoy doing my work. It can be tiring and exhausting at times, you know, but I love doing it. I love being creative, but I do hair. So I'm a hairstylist, and it's fun for me, but there's also, yes, I like having that schedule and I like using my hands and I like, you know, knowing that, okay, I'm starting here, and it keeps my mind busy. So I'm not just bored. I think you just get too bored when you're just not working with your hands. It helps people that have that sort of, so that's why I think you feel more mentally healthy when you're doing a physical, you know, profession.
Yeah, I think so. But enough shop talk. I feel like I have to apologize for AA for getting so in depth on all of that. What I really love to do, truly, is I love to spread joy.
Yeah.
And now I will stick an addendum in there. I am a little mischievous. So it's not all joy and candy and roses. I am very protective of the Bitcoin army. I'm protective of the Bitcoin anarchists too. I mean, that was, that was the first place that I was accepted. And I kind of want to tie that into mental health also, because there was a lot I was going through when I had found you guys, or when you had found me, or however that works. Mm-hmm. And so I am, for the most part, I want to sing up my friends. I want to promote, folks who are trying to do something in this space, Bitcoin related. And there are some, even some folks who are not Bitcoin related. I mean, I've met a couple of people who are, who are pretty, cool and down to earth and just, fun to be around. And that's totally fine. And there's even some people that I know from, from my past history that are to me, they're hilarious. A lot of them, I credit a lot of my my sense of humor to my New York upbringing. We can be savage. If it's all love, it's a little bit different. It's like, we'll tear you down because, if somebody else tries to do it, we're going to all gang up on them because, you're our clown to play around with, it's a little different. Like that, in the 90s for me were a time where like there was just more acceptance and there were, people weren't worried about the political scope of everything. And it was sort of this blessing to not have social media at the time. Mm-hmm. The internet was just sort of a waking structure. And none of us were thinking about staying home, and tapping on keyboards, or swiping on screens. We all wanted to be outside, listening to bands play and just having a good time. So that's where I came from.
How long did you live in New York for?
I'd say from birth till about 25.
Okay.
And that's when I started kind of moving around and kind of seeing a little bit more of the world. I'm still kind of privy to the East Coast, but I've moved in, a little Western, from there, but not much. It's sort of a safe space for me, I guess. I'm not really a West Coast person. I don't know that I could thrive there. What I love to do is I love to be involved in the Bitcoin army, especially. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a force all its own, but it's only as strong as what we make it. Mm-hmm. I tend to get very defensive, and I will say, especially with the females, for some reason, I'm just very protective. Like if somebody starts, because I, the minute somebody starts saying, disrespectful things, it's like I see red.
You have a daughter too, so I think that helps, kind of feel like a defensive person.
That's part of it. It's not so much like, oh, these are my women or something like that. It's more like, if that were my daughter, you would not be breathing right now, and that sort of thing.
It's like just nice to see, because I feel like maybe when it's like a guy, you feel like they can kind of, either way, you stand up for your friends, even if it's a guy or a girl. But I feel like, when it's a girl, you're just like, hey, you know, I'm going to report you for being a POS, you know? So it's just kind of like nice to stick together and stand up for each other.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not to say that women cannot handle their own business. I mean, especially our girls, you know, our Bitcoin army, you know, we have some Spartan women up in here, but
you just have that backup, you know, we all need some backup. Yeah, so it's absolutely. Like, it makes me feel like, even when I had lost my account, I was like, I feel like I'm pretty tough. I was like, okay, it happened. You know, I'm not going to freak out. You know, I'm like, I've been through more, you know, more than this, you know, it's like, it's not like an end, you know, end me, but I just felt like it was a little disappointing. But when I saw that I had the backup of all of you guys, it was, I really was not surprised. I knew that you guys would do that, but it was just very, it made me feel very happy. And I didn't really care then, because I was like, wow, as long as I get to still have my crew, you know, it's like, okay, it happened with my account, that stinks. But, you know, just to be able to, you know, start a new account and start over was fine. You know, as long as I had your support, it meant everything. So,
yeah.
And then as far as when you were saying too, like how did the community, and how did, like, when you found us, like, you were feeling like, you know, that lonely sort of online searching and talking to people. Did you have other friends on X before us? Like you said, there were those other people that were non-Bitcoiners, or did it kind of start from our group?
It really started from the group. I mean, literally the one person that I know outside of the Bitcoin space is, mm-hmm. Is like, I know him personally, like we grew up together in like the same, you know, social circles and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I try to sing his praises whenever I see him, but he's not on very much. So, mm-hmm. You know, he'll throw something. I mean, he throws in a lot of, he makes a lot of wrestling comments and things like that. So I don't really watch wrestling, but I do post on wrestling. And it's almost funnier that I don't know what I'm talking about, because then I can sort of, you know, strike some people up like, you know, this guy and that guy and Johnny, whoever his name is. And I don't like, oh, he won the title, you know, back in 19. Like, that means fuck all to me. I have no idea who that is, you know, and I just have fun with it. It's almost better not to know shit in that regard.
Because then you're just getting your impressions anyway. You're just getting more engagement.
It's just for engagement. And, you know, and honestly, you know, to a degree, I might learn a thing or two, which could be fun too. You know, I mean, maybe I like wrestling and I just have no idea. I liked wrestling back in the 80s, you know, but I stopped caring, you know, once I grew up and realized there's no Santa Claus and wrestling's not real either.
You know, I think that too. I think wrestling is not real, but at the same time, sometimes when you see them flip over the way they do, and it's like, it still takes skill, even though it's like choreographed.
Right. So to be fair, I really don't want to piss off wrestling folks. Like, mm-hmm. to be completely fair, it takes a tremendous amount mm-hmm. of athleticism. They are athletes. Mm-hmm. They right. are absolutely athletes. And you know, but it is a staged theater show. So it's like mm-hmm. a little bit of both. It's like, it's, you know, it's action, it's drama, it's, you know, it's all kinds of craziness. It's kayfabe, you know, it's mm-hmm. it is what it is. And people and tons of people, especially, you know, ones that I know, they know it's fake and they just love it. It's just, it's fun. It's entertainment. It is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. you know, and that's all there is to it. You know, is there a degree of realness to it? I'm sure there's folks who don't like each other who get to, you know, who look at the script and like, oh, I get to beat the shit out of this guy. You know, this is great. I hate that son of a bitch, you know, and I'm sure that's fantastic for them. But, mm-hmm. you know, but
that's good that you have an open mind. Like, you're like, okay, you know, if my friend likes this, I'll, you know, I'll share something about it. And you're, it's just nice to be able to think that, you know, I'll have fun with it. And that's a good way to live. You just joke around, you have fun with things, and then you might even learn that you like something. And that's probably part of the reason why you found out about Bitcoin. Maybe you just heard about it and you thought, oh, whatever. And maybe you just started to actually learn about it as you took a deeper dive.
Yeah. So so that's actually, that kind of brings me to the next part, like the mm-hmm. Bitcoin journey, right? I, you know, by no means am a well-educated human being. I am mostly self-educated, you mm-hmm. know, and I think, I kind of promote this a lot, like the most important education that you're ever going to have is the education that you give yourself.
Right.
I mean, you can go to Ivy League schools and you can just phone it in for 4 years to 8 years. You can go and get a doctorate and just not really care about your profession, but you know it's going to make money or it's going to pay off the student loans or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can be really attentive and be really good at, you know, at learning, and you can, you know, have no problem retaining the information and, you know, and that sort of thing. I would consider myself mid-level, maybe, if I had to, you know, sort of self-critique. You know, I do pay attention. I can, you know, I can be taught and I can learn. But the truth is, like, unless you have a teacher that just somehow connects with you and just really resonates with you, you know, unless you have an undying passion for that specific subject, you're going to learn at a base level. You know, and it doesn't matter how good the school is. It doesn't matter how good the teacher is. It doesn't matter. You know, none of that stuff matters. Right. Unless you're willing to learn it, unless you're dedicated to it, it's really falling on deaf ears, or it just becomes something that's like practiced by rote. You know what I mean? You just don't, it doesn't connect with you.
Even people that when they do go to these like more expensive colleges and stuff, they're learning the book work. They're learning the stuff they have to learn to pass the, you know, to pass the class, and then they get this degree afterwards, but they have no real world experience either. So it's sometimes they're like infants joining the world. So it's like, even though you have the degree, you really don't know too much about living a real life. So it's just kind of, you know, you need that experience in whatever job it is that you decide to do to actually feel like you're getting your confidence and actually understanding your, you know, what you went to school for. You know, you're still just kind of a baby.
Yeah. I mean, and then a lot of that even applies to a lot of like trade and technical stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can be taught how to do something, but, you know, if you're not out in the field learning it, you know, and seeing it for what it is, I mean, you know, it's not gonna hit you the way, you know, it's not the same, you know, kind of learning. But and anyway, so where I was when I first started, I mean, I had known about Bitcoin to a degree. I had sort of heard about it, but I wasn't really in a digital space where, you know, I was catching a lot of the jargon or a lot of the, hey, this is the thing. You know, to my knowledge, it was just like, oh, we're just moving money to the internet now and we're just going to have internet money. Okay. And I didn't really get it. I didn't know it was a cryptocurrency. I didn't really get that message, you know, in like 2009 or whatever. I was, you know, well occupied with way, you know, many other things at the time. Mm-hmm. So over time, it really was somewhere in the backdrop, kind of doing its own thing. And I was just doing my own thing, completely oblivious to it. And it wasn't like I had heard about it and said, oh, that's garbage, and just walked away, like, whatever. It was just like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's probably what the kids will be doing when I'm an old man, and they'll, you know, be like zapping, you know, doing whatever, and like, you know, paying with their phones or something. And lo and behold, that started becoming a thing, but it didn't really have anything to do with Bitcoin. That was just sort of how, you know, the how technology was moving forward. Right. But all the while, you know, Bitcoin was doing its thing, and it really didn't hit me until I'd say 2024. I had filed taxes a bit late in the game that year, and then when I had gotten my return, in my head I'm thinking, you know, every time this happens, I always look at, you know, okay, well, I need, you know, I, you know, my daughter needs a whole new, you know, set of clothes because she's outgrown everything, and, you know, I gotta get her shoes, and I gotta get this, and I gotta get that. And then by the end of like, you know, 3 or 4 months, I'm still, you know, back in the same situation of, you know, the next paycheck has to go to rent, and then a little bit of this, you know, just for odds and ends to replace anything. If I'm out of toilet paper, if I'm out of this, I'm out of that. And I'm like, well, what would happen if I could actually keep some of this fucking money? Right. And then I started looking at investing, and I'm like, all right, it works for other folks, right? You know, you know, whatever. And then I started learning a little bit more about investing. And so I decided to start investing. You know, I took some time to like really pay it. I'm like, I don't want to just go taking this money and putting it somewhere where I know it's just going to like, oh, well, up, the market crashed. Oh, well, sorry, you lose it all. Right. So I tried to be as smart as I could with it. And, you know, and I actually ended up, you know, keeping some of it. And it was the first time, I think, since I had at least become a parent, that I was able to, keep the tax return that I got, you know, and not have to, you know, spend it on a million different things, or at least find things to spend it on. Right.
Right.
And it, you know, I looked in my account and it was still there, and I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And that was when I started kind of looking at cryptocurrency and saying, you know, okay, well, that's, I guess, something that, you know, that, that whole thing that I had heard about, oh, so many years ago was starting to turn into something. And, you know, well,
I'm impressed with the fact that you said you got into it in 2024, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, this is just, I don't know. I wonder if a lot more people this cycle are going to be like you, because you got into it in 2024. It's 2025 now, and you are a Bitcoin maxi.
Yeah.
So that is very impressive, because most people get into crypto because they think, okay, I want to save money for the future. I need it for my kids. I need whatever the reason. And then you decide to find out that this is a good way to invest your money, but you get suckered into buying what we call shit coins, which is anything but Bitcoin.
Yep.
And you end up thinking that, oh, if I hit the lottery on one of these other coins, I will maybe make, you know, $1 million or something. But people think they're going to get rich off this stuff. And then they end up getting burned because they realize that whatever company or corporation holds the majority of the supply ends up rug pulling you. So you end up just sitting there with a bag, like you were thinking what would happen with the stock market. You would end up losing your money and look back at it and be gone. So that's what happens with a lot of people with these other coins. But with Bitcoin, it's so spread out around the world, and it's too big of an asset class, like over $2 trillion now, I think. So it can't happen with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a different animal, and people still confuse Bitcoin with crypto. But you got into it in 2024. And you, how did that happen? How did you become a Bitcoin maxi right away?
I just observed people, right? I have, and what we say is we trust or we don't trust, we verify. I'm a little bit different in that regard. I don't so much trust people. I trust behavior. So I guess in a sense I do verify, right? I verify behavior, and that's my basis of trust. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not listening to a word you say. I'm watching what you do. I'm watching your mannerisms. I'm watching how you talk. I mean, even if it's just on a YouTube video, you know, if you watch any of these folks to a long enough degree, you kind of see how they're almost like charlatans, and I mean, a religion is something I could go on for a while. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you sort of, after a while, you spend enough time watching somebody give a sermon, and you kind of see who's spreading the word because of faith and who's spreading the word because of money.
Right.
You know, who's trying to pass the collection plate around, you know, an extra time or two and say, you know, well, if you give more, then more good things are going to happen. And like, that's not reality. That's not how it works. Right. And then when disasters happen, they go and they blame, you know, because you didn't give enough or something, you know, there's always some kind of hook. Right. And that's really like, I don't trust people to a degree. Right. I verify what they do, how they act.
You found our paranoid page first.
Yep. I was like, this is home.
That's you're me. Just like, wow, I don't trust these people. I think that you just, definitely expand on that some more. Like, I just want to know more about how you really discovered that. Like, how did you find, did you find out about Bitcoin first and then join X? Did you join X and then start learning about Bitcoin in that process?
Well, so I had been on X since it was Twitter, right? I had been on, my account, I think, is like 2010, 2011, something like that. And it was just like a thing to do. It was just like, oh, you know, I was on MySpace for a while, and then somebody mentioned Facebook. So I was like, okay, I'll hop on Facebook. And then, you know, then somewhere in the mid 2000s, somebody mentioned Twitter. So I was like, okay, I'll just check that out. And like, I had never made friends. I'd just been like something you said resonated with me when I first saw your posting was like, I feel like I've, you know, been screaming into the void, and now I've have like people to actually talk to. And it's like, oh yeah, I'd like that. That sounds fun. You know, cause that's been my experience, you know, for over a decade on Twitter. Just not.
And that was probably, I bet that was probably when I was on Paula's podcast
for people. And it's a fair system that everyone can play. And it's
the more you interact with people, the more they interact with you. So it was really nice, because all these years I've been on X, I've been tweeting into the void. I thought I was just talking to myself all the time, but I just had so many things I wanted to put out there into the world. So it feels like my ideas are reciprocated. I have people not only responding to me and sharing intelligent thoughts, but they're also having fun with me. We're just having a good time. We're actually laughing. It feels like we actually have friends. In real life, you don't have a lot of people that understand Bitcoin. So having a group of people that understand your sense of humor and can joke with you about things is really a priceless feeling. I think I was sharing clips.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Cause you were sharing them at your shop and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I saw like everything was orange. I'm like, that's awesome.
And I didn't even notice I had these orange candles at the shop and they were in front of the TV and I didn't do that on purpose. So my husband's like, oh, isn't it cool that you captured the orange candles in front of the TV too? When you were sharing that.
I know. No, that was so cool. I had thought you had been like, I mean, something fun. And one of the things that I really like about how we call each other legends, is that we like, it doesn't take much. Like and it's so subtle, but like when I had seen like the orange candles and I had, seen your video, in your shop, I'm like, God, this looks like she's been doing this for years, and then I'm like, wow, like, you know, but then after a while, and then I realized, a lot of us are just kind of starting out, and like some of us have been here longer, and you know, some of us have joined the community, but we've been Maxis since since 2011 or whatever the case is, and it's like, none of that stuff really matters, you know what I mean? It's all like, you know what, you're a legend now because everything that you're doing now, like today, is what matters. Like your past, your present, your past and your future, are really just sort of a byproduct, right? You know what I mean? Like your past is a byproduct of the knowledge that you attained before, and you did the best with what you had then, and your future is going to be the byproduct of whatever you're doing now, versus whatever you've done before, and if you've learned from it or not or whatever. But it's like, this is the moment that you're in, right? And it's like, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to, are you going to, hope for $1 million? Are you gonna work for $1 million? Are you gonna save, for $1 million? Are you gonna?
That's what reminds me when I posted. I made the post about like that Eminem song, like that 8 Mile song, or "Lose Yourself," I think it's called. But it's like the lyrics of that literally are just like, "Are you gonna let this opportunity pass you up? Or are you gonna do something about it?" You know. So it's like, that's why I like sharing that, because people just get really fired up with it. And I think I'm proud of you, and you're a legend, because look at, like, you are like, and I really want to title this episode 2024, "This Cycle is Breeding Bitcoin Maxis," because you literally are, you came into the space. You are not just starting out with getting the wrong idea, getting suckered. You're literally just came in, you're a Bitcoin Maxi, and you're now speaking. You're speaking on spaces. I just started my show, but you're joining my show. You're talking, you're not being scared about it. You know, it's like, how cool is that? You know, for me doing this thing, but for you to just speak up and just get on here and just tell your story, like, this is important. You know, it's like whatever you found in community, but also how you're an instant maxi is just, I don't think I've heard that yet, you know? So I hope there's a lot more of you like that. You know, I'm sure that's kind of what is happening, but it's great.
Me too. I mean, all right. So like, all right, I want to try and play the whole tape as much as I, and a lot of it is not me trying to hide stuff. It's just my brain has a hard time remembering things, so it's important for me to play the whole tape because there's things I'll miss all the time. Right. And my biggest thing is like, I didn't get here right away, but I got here. I mean, I did kind of fast track, Like I had looked at, crypto, and I had looked at these folks saying, well, this is the next thing and that's the next thing. And so I dipped in the water and said, well, what if I bought like 10 bucks of this and just see where it goes from here to there. And every time it would go nowhere, I'd hear like, oh, well, this is that. And that's this.
I'm going to let you continue, but I'm just picturing your rabbit hole journey. Because everyone has this rabbit hole journey into Bitcoin, and we all like feel like we're just like, we can't sleep at night. We're researching, we're figuring out what this thing is. And
oh my God.
Must have been on a fast forward, like speed of light version of that.
It was ridiculous. And I will completely tell on myself and say a lot of times where I was supposed to be sending those emails, I was watching videos because
you were just like, and that's what happens. It's like, you realize what is going on and then you're trying to figure it out. And instead of doing the job yourself, you're like, this is important. I need more time to do this. Because you're like, I found something.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm very literal, literary, which I probably not sounding very literary right now, but you know what I mean? Like I can edit, you know, and proofread and, you know, and doctor and whatever, and send out, you know, and send out an email within like, you know, 20 seconds, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like my brain, when it's hyper-focused, I can do my, you know, give me a spreadsheet and I'll have it deduped and, you know, and completely cleaned up within, you know, a half an hour. My turnover time is psychotic.
Yeah. It sounds like, psychotic, but that's what we like to call ourselves, right? We're just like,
right. Yeah, I'm you know, I'm toxic when I'm passionate mm-hmm. about something. If that's the, you know, if that's what I'm, you know, cursed as, mm-hmm. then so be it. Right. But no, I mean, it didn't take very long for me to kind of look and say, like, okay, these guys are completely full of shit. Yeah. You know, like everybody who talks about, like, oh, the trading secrets and this and that, and you can join my trading group for, you know, for $199, and that's so cheap, isn't it? And like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're good at something, you're not going to go giving the house away, like, and you're not going to charge, like, you know, you're not going to charge like this menial, you know, price and then reduce that price to like whatever. Like, you're a scam
artist.
What was
it? It's just all you that was it somebody's, like, a speaker, a podcast, or was it a book that you read? What was the thing that you're just like, this is, like, when you realize why Bitcoin is different?
It was a little bit of everything, right? It was a little bit of reading, and to be fair, like, it wasn't a lot of in-depth reading. Like, I wasn't going through the white papers, like, some, you know, like some kind of, like, you know, like some kind
of
great detective.
Did you ever go through the Satoshi
like
emails?
I've browsed okay. through some of them. I haven't seen mm-hmm. every single one of them. Because again, you know, sometimes my attention mm-hmm. span is very, very locked in, and then sometimes I'm getting pulled by like right. nine different things, and phone calls are mm-hmm. coming in, and I like actually did have to do my job yeah. at times. So
someday it would be cool to look at that when you have a chance, because it's just, I feel like I'm still.
Oh yeah.
But I was thinking you wouldn't say yes, you know, because you did this fast track to Bitcoin thing, and somehow you managed to.
It really was.
I still am just picturing the rabbit hole journey, like how it must have felt. Like, you must have been like in a wormhole. You know, instead of a rabbit hole.
I would wake up in the middle of the night and run downstairs to my computer to yeah. look something up. Like, what happens if this mm-hmm. happens? And, you know, and I'd go down, like, I can't, you know, I would try mm-hmm. to sleep. But at the time I was also going through a lot of anxiety. So anyway.
When we call understanding Bitcoin orange pilling, like, for people that are watching that don't understand, that's what we call it when you finally understand Bitcoin. But it's almost like taking the orange pill is like an insomnia pill, because you're just like, all of a sudden you like realize you're seeing through that matrix, you're seeing through the curtain of the veil, and all of a sudden you just take that truth pill, and all of a sudden you're like, I can't sleep because I need to know more, and you're just like fascinated by the fact that you're being like lied to and stolen yeah. from, and you're like, it all comes together. But you, it's just crazy to think Bitcoin maxi, like, it's just, you know, I'm going to keep mentioning that probably until this thing ends, so don't get tired of me saying it.
No, not at all, never. So one of the things that I think really, really helped with my journey, right, it was instinctual. Mm-hmm. There was an instinct that happened while I was kind of researching everything, and it was a little bit of like, it was a little bit sailor to a degree. There was some sailor content. But a lot of it was also Jack Mahler's. Yeah. Like, there was some Jack Mahler's content, and something I like about him is, like, he does, like, every Monday he does a podcast. He goes, you know, he actually does connect with folks, and mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, you know, and again, like, I don't put him up on a pedestal.
But he keeps it. He's young, so he knows how to get to the point, and he knows right. how to keep it real. He's very, like, you could tell because of his personality and the company that he's built. He's like, I don't give a crap about you're this, you're that, and he says it how it is, even on Main Street, like on CNBC, like he'll talk and he'll just tell it how it is, and he yeah. breaks it down clearly, and that's why I think he does stuff like that to people, because people realize you don't have that kind of personality where you're trying to push something on people. So Jack Mahler's is a great one, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, he definitely helped on the journey, but a lot of it was instinctual. A lot of it was like, when I was hearing about, like, you know, like, you know, how we shouldn't work for another man, what another man can print, yes. and, like, you know, learning about, you know, learning about the gold standard, and learning about, you know, not even learning, but just knowing that, you know, a lot of what we do is bullshit. And a lot of, like, a lot of the economy is just designed to keep us completely fucked day in and day out. And it, like, when you can sneeze the wrong way and then end up with a medical bill that fucking takes your life away, mm-hmm. like, there's something not okay with this, right? I had been, I wouldn't say anti-capitalism, mm-hmm. but I will say that I am anti the shit that sucks about capitalism.
Right.
And if you think that, and if you think that there is no shit that sucks about capitalism at all, you're a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right to your face. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? It's like, you can't go and tell me that capitalism is the end all be all. It's the perfect, you know, perfect form of, you know, of economy. You're stupid. I'm sorry, but you're stupid. And I'd hope your mother doesn't know how stupid you are, but you're fucking stupid. Like,
well, I mean,
yeah, there meritocracy. Yeah, there is obviously high points to meritocracy. But when capitalism ignores meritocracy, meritocracy is basically you're rewarded based on merit. So if you're doing a good job, if you know, and a lot, and you hear a lot of Republicans talk about meritocracy, mm-hmm. but they don't actually live it. Mm-hmm. It's not a principle that they actually live by. It's not a principle that capitalism lives by.
Right.
There is a monetary principle that capitalism lives by, that, you know, whoever makes the best product will tend to get more favoritism, mm-hmm. right? But that's not always the case. And I mean, you look at like a lot of, I mean, look at the washing machines that are made in this day and age and how often they break and have to be replaced and the parts not available and all this other shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you can't tell me that that's not a racket.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't look me straight in the face and say, like, you know, a refrigerator made in the 1970s that's still running to this fucking day versus right. something made in the 2000s that breaks every fucking, you know, every 5 or 6 months
yeah.
and needs a new part. And then this part goes and then that part goes, you know, because one part's made over here in this area. And then another part's made over here in this area. And that's somehow less costly than just making it all in one fucking spot. Like,
yeah,
come on.
And then
dude.
It's like, it's done on purpose. And also it's bad for the environment. Now you're just kind of like chucking old appliances. And it's like, why
right.
would you like not just make something work better so we don't have to keep throwing stuff out, you know?
Yeah. Make something that you can buy once and you can hang on to for the rest of your life. And lo and behold, we've been doing that with money for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, but if you switch to a Bitcoin standard, you have money that's not going to devalue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to, you know, it's not going to, you know, need a replacement or revamped, or it's not going to be need to be reprinted every, mm-hmm. you know, every bad economy,
right.
you know, that, you know, so.
And it's a defense.
I mean, there's a lot there.
It's a defense for, you know, my favorite thing is calling it a shield, because, you know, you put it in this network that can't be hacked, and people need a, you know, time to understand how and why it can't be hacked. But it's a defense for corporations and governments to not come in and say, well, we're going to make more of this. So it's like, because it's
right.
scarcity, that's why it goes up in value over time, because the dollar keeps losing value and printing constantly. And I'm still amazed that you know, came to that conclusion from seeing the bullshit. You know, you saw it and you didn't buy into some I'm gonna get rich quick scheme. You bought into something real. You know, you actually realized that this is the true, this is the, like, you realize what decentralized meant and why that's important. You know, it's not just
right.
like another crypto, because people just think Bitcoin is crypto, and that's, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, what do we call them? Poor's?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but again, it's, you know, it's unfortunate, because, you know, it's not that they don't want to get something better, it's mm-hmm. that their comfort zone won't allow for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, cuz that's been me for so long. Like, you know, you work a job, you work as hard as you can, you take all the overtime they offer, you do whatever it is to do. And you be thankful for it. You kiss the boot and you go back to whatever it is you're doing. And you can go and have your own life, but you better get your ass back here, you know, 15 minutes before your shift starts. You know, otherwise we're going to, you know, look at you funny.
Well, one thing when Michael Saylor said too, he's like, I thought it was really cool that he said this too, because it could breed a whole new batch of Bitcoin maxis instead of, you know, people that start off with other crypto and find out the hard way. But he just says, you know, Bitcoin or the system is rigged against you. And I thought that was a really important thing that he said, because he just came out and said it in an interview. And yeah, that was really powerful. And even the start of James Lavish's book, I'm not James Lavish, I'm sorry, Lawrence Leopard's book, The Big Print, it reminds me of, you know, just how capitalism, like when you were saying, it's like people think it's the greatest thing ever, but it's like when you start to like read this book and he talks at the beginning about his family history, it's like literally these, you know, fabricated boom and bust cycles that are created by the Fed give businesses false hope that this is a good time to invest more money in your company. And then they go and crash markets and literally almost bankrupt you. So it goes on for generations, you know, and this happened, this was like the history of his family. And it's like, you realize it takes time for you to realize, like looking back at what they went through, and it took up until he's him to say, this is bullshit. You know, this is, you know, the system is rigged against us. Like exactly what Michael Saylor said.
Right.
So it's like people just start seeing more and more that you're working so hard. You're thankful to have that paycheck. You need it. But you need to know where you could put that excess cash, that it, because if you can't save cash anymore, you know, it keeps getting depleted away by inflation. And investing, it's like almost like you're just barely beating inflation, you're almost like just keeping even with it, you know.
I mean, you know, I have a family member and I talk to them about their investments, you know, just sort of in a passing thing, because I just, you know, I want to see, you know, if there's anything that I'm missing out, you know, and I'm trying to listen to wisdom of others. Right. And, you know, and I, you know, I verify this person's love for me, you know what I mean? You know, it's very real, you know? So when I talk to them about what they're doing, I know they're not going to snowblind me or something. Right. And they said, you know, well, you know, I'm old now. I've got most of it in bonds. You don't make nothing, but you don't lose nothing either. And I'm like, oh, that's a sad way.
Well, then it's like you're slowly losing inflation. Like a story about bonds real quick is my cousin told me that she had gotten a $50 bond when she was born in 1986. And she looked back to see how much it was worth when she cashed it out, like great, like a couple, 2 years ago. It was worth $54. From $50, it went up $4 since 86. So you lost, whoever bought that bond for her lost money, because that $50 back then could have bought a ton, like who knows what in 1986. And then now it buys just what, less than a tank of gas? So it's like, you know, and then we looked up like how much it would have been if you would have invested it in some sort of like Microsoft type thing or whatever, and not including any dividends or any kind of like splitting of the stock. This was literally just the price at the time. It would have been worth $1,000 now. So those bonds lost, whoever, you know, whoever it was that saved it in a bond lost money. And I think that's what other countries around the world are realizing. Like, we're not buying US treasuries or bonds, like they're worthless. You know, so it's like, that's what I think is also killing the dollar, because nobody trusts that it's, we have lost trust with our debt print, our money printing here.
Right. I mean, and that's the one thing that really woke me up was the fiat, right? It really snapped me at, you know, into place and said like, so you mean I've been working my entire life for this money? And this money is garbage. And not only that, but just any other money that's existed that runs on the same kind of standard has also been garbage. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this is some brand new thing. It's like, this is a history that has been repeating itself for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And we now have something that is historic in its own right. There's nothing like Bitcoin. Anything that has been, that has tried to be Bitcoin is a shitcoin, right? Yeah. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And no matter what anybody tells you, well, what about Algorand? And what about that? I don't even want to go through the names. Like, it's any single one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could talk for hours on, you know, how XRP can go fuck itself. But that's mostly because people just, it's just the mentality. Somebody said it a couple of days ago and it was fantastic. The one key thing, right? Every single motherfucking shitcoiner in the X space wants to be Bitcoiner's friend. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I join your group? Hey, have you heard about this? Hey, this, hey, you're that. Right. Oh, that was so funny.
I was thinking about, go ahead with it, because I already know you're right, but go ahead.
But, you know, they're like, oh, let's, you know, what's this going? How was your day? And whatever. And good morning. I get so many good mornings. when I post a good morning from somebody with .eth in their name or .soul or .whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to know you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's not, you know, and it's nothing personal. I'm sure you're a fantastic human being in whatever regard, you know, unless you're not, of course. Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't want anything to do with you because I don't want you coming around and saying, well, what does is going to hold value between now and 2026 or well, watch what happens in 2027. Dude, I'm going to be too busy stacking sats to give a fuck about your shitcoin. I don't care.
Right.
You're wasting your time talking to me. Right. But they still want to do it all the fucking time. Oh, well, you know, we had a crypto backed by Bitcoin. Like, no, crypto doesn't need there is a cryptocurrency, right? And it's like, yeah, it's not all of crypto, but it is run on cryptography, right? Mm-hmm. It already is its own system. It doesn't need to be backed by anything. Oh, but the transactions are so slow. It's like, not really. Mm-hmm. Like, how fast does it need to be?
And you have the Lightning Network built on top of it. So
exactly. Like it's like every problem that they try to throw, like, it's like they're the type of folks that they have a problem for every solution.
Right.
Go and we fix it, and they're still. And the only reason that they're trying to do that is because they want to sell you the bag. Right. None of us. Do you want to sell your Bitcoin to somebody else? Are you dissatisfied with the Bitcoin that you're holding that you want to go and chuck it off to somebody else?
Yeah.
I know the answer already. Right.
Right.
I already know the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, I'm not trying to unload my bag for anybody. Mm-hmm. Right.
But like what you're saying is like, they're always in your post trying to say, hey, guess what? I'm here. But none of us are going onto their posts, like trying to be friends, you know, cause we're like, we're not going to just try to get involved with you. Cause you're just going to be it. You're just a scammer. You're trying to scam. Like, we don't want to get involved with that. Like, we just want people who are Bitcoin only that are talking to us because we understand that they understand why Bitcoin is
exactly
Bitcoin. And that's why we'll talk to you. Not that we won't try to help somebody who hasn't yet found the way. If somebody really wants to know about it, ask us. We're very friendly. We're a great group that wants to educate and teach. We'll share you know, knowledge that we have, or we'll share people that we think would help you understand. We're a very helpful group of people, but it's just funny when you have people who even come into spaces and try to just talk, like pretty much troll a Twitter space and try to say why Bitcoin is not the right thing, and it's not valuable, where they literally, we respond to what they're saying and they have zero, it's like they just don't care, they don't hear, it's like they just want to troll.
Right.
So those people don't need to be there. If you're not going to hear our argument and then have a backup, like have a response to that argument, then get out of here, you know, because if you're just going to start, literally we have a good reason to have you understand what you said is wrong, and you still just like literally act like you didn't hear it, then you're going to leave the space. We're going to kick you. So it's like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, we're toxic in that way when we're trying to help you. We're not trying to shill people. We're not trying to be like trying to convince people to buy Bitcoin. But if you literally want to know what we understand, then ask. And if you're just going to be trolling and not listening at all, then we don't need to waste our time because our time is valuable.
Exactly. Like, I don't, you know, I'll joke about it, but I'm not going to go to a shitcoiner's space and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to spread the gospel of Bitcoin. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's just, that's above me. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not a Jack Mullers. I'm not, you know, I'm not a Michael Saylor. Mm-hmm. I'm just another bozo on the bus. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not here to change everybody's life. Mm-hmm. Right. If it's somebody I care about, yeah, that's, you know, or if it's somebody that I know who like feels lost, like if I see a shitcoiner come into the digital space, like like the guy who lost his last 500. I know, I think I think we had spoken about how we wanted to sort of talk about that, yes, or bring that up at this. And that's one of the biggest things with me, right? That's the guy that I want to orange pill, mm-hmm, right? So that he will put down the fucking gun. Mm-hmm. Dude, your life is not worth throwing away over this, over a meme coin. What the fuck are you doing, brother?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Explain what happened with him.
Okay, so this guy, I'm kind of going off. I was a little more, in depth about it, you know, when I had read about it, mm-hmm, right? But it's been a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the
memories. Quick. Yeah, just quick.
But more or less,
simple explanation of what it was.
More or less, some guy lost his last $500 on a meme coin, and he got on like a Spaces or whatever. He got on video in the digital space and said, "I'm done." And he basically played Russian roulette on live digital TV, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "If this goes off, make a meme coin of me." And it went off, and he lost his life.
Right.
And what did shitcoiners do? They made a meme coin of him. So that's why when I say I am compassionate for everyone that I can be compassionate to, not those fucking people. Yeah. Not somebody who would take the death of another human being and make a fucking joke about it just like that.
Well, they think that they're like, oh, I'm going to just, we're honoring him for being a martyr.
Even if,
but it's not that. It's like this guy, he just got rug pulled to, like, if that last $500, literally he had mental health issues and he literally ended his life and he just wanted to be gone. That was the thing. But people, he was like, make a meme. That's the legacy I want to leave behind. Make a meme coin. So he really just thought, I'm going to create something with my sacrifice that's going to blow up because everyone's going to think this thing, like I made a statement. But it's like, that's not the right statement. Like,
no, but see, even if that's the mentality, it's not so much his desperation that I'm ragging on, right? It's the people who are going to monetize that desperation.
Right.
Because while there may have been somebody who thought that they were doing an honorable thing and making a meme coin, mm-hmm. what's going to happen is that meme coin is going to go up, 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 up.
Right.
Everybody's going to have that cloud nine. And then it's going to go down, 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 down. And somebody's going to be left holding the bag. And somebody is going to be the next guy with losing his last $500.
Right.
That's why, in my head, it's fuck that guy. Right. Fuck the guys who take advantage of that shit, turn it into something to monetize.
Right.
That's where
the message should have been. This poor guy did this. This poor guy lost his money on these types of coins. He really was like had issues and he ended his life. But instead of just saying, this is why you should have Bitcoin, this is why Bitcoin is different, this is why this. No, like, let's honor his wishes and create more cycles that are going to happen with this poor guy that this happened
right.
to. It's like, we don't need to do more of that.
Exactly. Know? It's what that was the point. If we were a more rational people, mm-hmm. that would have been the point where the shit coining stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, okay, now it's, look, if you're going to do something with it, okay, but don't do the monetization thing, right? And what happens is it's almost like no matter what you do, somebody's going to look to find a way to make a buck. Oh, if you invest in this and, you know, da, 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 and it's going to 100x by the next cycle and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, alt season. Fucking stop. Like,
yeah.
It's just annoying at this point anymore, right? Like, these people who really think that this is some kind of real world application kind of way to go. And they talk about utility. Oh, well, you know, the utility of Algorand and the utility of Cardano. You can fuck off with that. What utility, how does that improve my life? Give me one solid example where me buying your shitcoin improves my life.
Right. And it's only because last cycle, these altcoins, like, I think there was just a boom in these other coins that people think, like, this time is going to follow last time. Once Bitcoin goes up, these altcoins will go up and we'll make money on them because we can't afford to get that much Bitcoin. So they think they'll profit so much. And just like how this cycle is breeding Bitcoin maxis, it's going to be literally just your story, finding Bitcoin and not getting into that bullshit. It shows that this cycle is different and Bitcoin will continue to go up and those altcoins will just continue to not go. You know what I mean? They'll kind of like be inferior, not compete. That's at least my prediction. I think this cycle is different in that way. I think people are realizing that even if some people get involved in these altcoins, Bitcoin's market cap and is going to keep growing exponentially, and I think these other ones are just going to be kind of like a little bit of like a just like a little drip drop, like a trickle of whatever's going on with Bitcoin. So
right,
you know,
like the thing that gets me is like when people talk, like there's a whole bunch of people that have skepticism still about Bitcoin. Nations, businesses, people who make real world decisions about real world things are buying Bitcoin by the fucking millions.
Mm-hmm.
If you really have a sound argument, I'd like to know what it is. Like, and it's part of the reason why I fucking hate Peter Schiff.
Yes. I wanted to get into that. And,
if you're ready, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, my fucking God.
I was literally had that next on my list. I'm like, we got to shift.
That son of a bitch. No, he's a complete fucking scam artist. Yeah. He's a scum-sucking human mm-hmm. being. He is literally the worst form of shitcoiner there is.
Yeah.
When I talk about shitcoiner, like, he is literally at the apex. Yeah. Because what does he do? He's selling paper ETFs of gold. Mm-hmm. Some shit that we don't even know if it's in Fort Knox or not, right? There could be just a fucking whole stack of IOUs in that mm-hmm. bitch, right? We have no fucking clue. They won't tell us. And that's one of the things. Like, it doesn't matter who's running the government.
Even if it is there, are they going to cut open a couple bars just to see is it all silver on the inside or what is it
on the inside? All you got to do is just flip this son of a bitch over and see that it's just gold wrapping and it's a fucking chocolate bar. Yeah. Like, it's just bullshit. I don't trust any of that shit.
Right.
Like, and I've said it before. If Peter Schiff tells me it's a nice day outside, I'm checking behind the fucking sun. I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Like, you're a liar, dude.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell you, and lo and behold, it's no small coincidence that you can buy his ETFs with Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
If Bitcoin is so worthless, what are you taking it for there, Mr. Schiff?
Right.
Get yourself the fuck out of here.
He's such a hypocrite and a contradicting human being. Like, he'll say things that, you know, he'll, like, when he was talking about the Strategic Reserve, he says, I don't agree with it, but I understand it. So then Bitcoin people started reposting, oh, Peter Schiff's a Bitcoiner now. And just like how you said, I would check behind the sun. As soon as that was happening, I'm like, he's not a Bitcoiner. That doesn't mean anything. And then as soon as like the next day happens, he's reposting it saying, see all these Bitcoin scammers, they're saying I'm a Bitcoiner now. I'm like, because you sounded like you're saying, because I don't get it, but I understand why.
Yeah, because for 5 fucking seconds... Because for 5 fucking seconds, you made a lick of sense. Mm-hmm. That's why, right. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you can be the worst son of a bitch on the planet Earth. And I believe that if anybody is, it's that guy. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to look at it for what it is and say, oh, you know, something actually Bitcoin is the future. Bitcoin is, you know, mm-hmm. but he doesn't do that, does he? He might actually believe it, mm-hmm. but instead of like, and I posted something to him today. Because he said another thing that was almost like not maximalist like, but at least Bitcoiner like, right?
It sounds he can talk crap later.
That's what he did. No, it was, well, yes. Number one is for engagement. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that in a second mm-hmm. because he's a crafty little fuck. Mm-hmm. But he said it was his birthday today, which I don't believe.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is, but who fucking, like, you, yeah. you know, you ruined my trust in you, you know, right then and there. So mm-hmm. even if it is your fucking birthday, you're the boy who cried wolf. Right. So fuck you, mm-hmm. you know, but I said, happy birthday. Cause everybody deserves one. Right. Yeah. I wished one of the people that I hate the most on this planet Earth right now, a happy birthday, because I'm such a wonderful fucking human being, right?
You're a bigger person. I would have just kind of skipped that. Well, that's really good of you to.
Realistically, what I am is a liar, because I don't wish him a happy birthday. I hope he fucks off into the sun. But anyway, into that sun that he's lying about.
You're gritting your teeth writing it. You're
like, happy birthday, you fuck. No, he said something like, oh, he's doing his own strategic Bitcoin reserve because he's trying to prove some kind of point or some bullshit, right? But he posts an address, and you know what's going to happen? Jackasses are going to give him Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm pissed off about.
Did he say that today?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he's there somewhere. He said it was right before church, and I was like, I can't go into church yet. I have to tell Peter Schiff to go fuck or something.
After I tell him happy birthday,
well, I'll go. You know, I mean, that's what prayer is for. I'll go pray later, but right now I gotta handle business first. No, James but like,
son, what a freak! I don't get it.
He said something like, oh yeah, this is my to be more like transparent or something to that effect, and like he's trying to find ways to not pay for Bitcoin like America is and everything. And so I said, look, I wish you a happy birthday first, because, you know, let's get that out of the way. And now, you know, now here comes the go fuck yourself part. Right. And it was like, just go buy the Bitcoin.
Right.
Just like everybody else. Yeah. If you don't believe in it, why are you trying to scam everybody else?
I forgot what you said. Was he asking for donations?
Yeah, he was asking. He posted an address. I don't know if it's his, but he posted an address,
saying he's
and I guess he was
reserve.
Expecting. Well, I think he had mentioned that he was starting one a couple of days ago. I mean, I'm sure he's. I mean, he talks a lot of bullshit. I mean, so
he's pretty much like, "Hey, it's my birthday. Here's a Bitcoin address to send me Bitcoin."
Right.
I hate him.
Right?
I just hate him.
What?
I'm sorry. Like, I want to be a good person. You know, it's like I feel like Peter Schiff makes me want to be a bad person, but I feel like he's like a train wreck or like some kind of car crash that you don't want to look at it. Like, I don't want to look, but I feel like as soon as we finish this, I'm going to be looking at him, just getting angry. Like, just because it's like, I want to like stare at it, but I just also hate it at the same time. So
yeah. And it's by design.
He knows how to engagement farm. He's an engagement farming son of a, you know what, but that's why we coined the term. I don't know if you did it or who actually said it, but shift posting. Because instead of calling it shit posting, we call it shift posting. Because Peter Schiff.
Yeah, it was you, me, and Jeeves there. I think at the very least, from what I remember. And if I have it wrong, I so apologize.
It's a fun thing to do. You know, it's like for us, it's like it's not like he drives us that crazy because we just know he's annoying and he does what he does. But it's just fun to shift post on him. You know, it's just like we just enjoy it because it's like, why not? You know, like I feel like I love that Jeff. Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I?
Why shouldn't I keep it? Why shouldn't I, you know, tell him to go fuck himself?
Yeah.
It's, you know.
But he's I love the gifs. I like seeing all the gifs people make of him. I like throwing him into a pool or like a, you know what I mean? It's just like he's such a little weasel, and I don't know, he just keeps trying to sell his gold and saying why gold is better. And it's like I think he even said in that same post about the strategic reserve, he said that Bitcoin is better, a better version of gold. He actually said that. And that's what
he said, it's digital gold, which is better.
Yeah. And then he goes and like, says like Bitcoiners are trying to say I'm a Bitcoiner now. See what scammers they are. I'm like, you are insane. Maybe he's got Alzheimer's.
No, what he is he's a person who has studied the macro, but he understands that he can engagement farm on the micro, and he can say, oh, well, you know, it's down 35% this week, and da, 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 da. It's like, dude, when in doubt, zoom out, and you know that.
I think bottom line, like, he's an engagement farmer, but I always thought, like, is he learning disabled, part of me thought, and then I was like, and then now I thought the Alzheimer's thing, but he's probably just an engagement farmer. That's what it is.
No, he's absolutely engagement farming. He doesn't believe a lick of what he says when he's trash talking Bitcoin. Because if he was if he believed what he was saying about trash talking Bitcoin, he wouldn't be trying to get his hands on yours.
Right.
That's first and foremost, and that's what I mean when I say I look at these people and I see them for what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude is not. If he wanted nothing to do with Bitcoin, he would not be taking Bitcoin. He would look at you and say, get that shit the fuck out of my house. He would look at us like shitcoiners. Yeah. Okay? He wouldn't be looking to grab our shitcoin and put it in his pockets.
Right.
He would be telling us to fuck off like a bunch of ETH.
Yeah.
So-and-so's, excuse me.
Yeah.
Trying to curb myself a little
insanity. Bit. Total insanity. That's what reminds you. It's like actual insanity. And that's what I think he's so good at. He's so good at being so psychotic.
Yeah, it's crazy making behavior because he makes you do a double take every time you read a post. Like, what are you, what? Yeah. What?
And then he gets people to think, Peter Schiff. He gets people to think, because I think he's such a gold bug. Like, he is the gold bug. Like, he is the person that, you know, anyway, I don't even know where my thoughts, see how my thoughts just get drained out of my brain as I'm talking when I talk about him?
No, it happens. It happens to me all the time. But the thing, I want to lock in on this really quick. Like, how much of a gold bug is he if he's trying to sell all of this shit?
Yep.
I mean, he's trying to sell it to you, but he's selling it to you for Bitcoin. Like, that's what he's trying to do. So he's, in that sense, he's, he is the he's the mark of where it says, like, you know, Bitcoin is for everybody, even that fucking son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as sad as it is, like, you know, we don't get world adoption unless all of the people in the world, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I don't, you know, I look at it like.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, finish.
Go ahead. No, it's like I don't like I look at it like I can't like everybody. I'm not supposed to like everybody. If I didn't have any enemies or any people I didn't like, I would have no teachers left. I would have no, you know what I mean? I would, if anything, I would just have you know, a whole world full of confirmation bias, and everybody who believes what I believe and will can at least expand on it so I can expand my knowledge. But I'm not going to learn anything concrete about myself if I don't have some kind of adversity like Peter Schiff or whoever else, you know, may be out there. You know, even the shitcoiners, God bless them, right? It's just, you know,
That's why I think it's
but
like the ultimate, like how you said happy birthday to Peter Flippin' Schiff, is that he see what I mean, what he does to my brain, I can't take him.
I'm
But
so sorry. It's terrible.
what he did is that he, like the way you said happy birthday to him, okay, is the way that he's posting this Bitcoin address, and once the government, let's say our US government, starts selling whatever gold we may have, if we have it. But if we do, they'll probably sell some gold to buy the Bitcoin strategic reserve that they want to stockpile. So his poor little Schiff company gold bags are gonna just drop like a lot. You know, he's gonna be feeling pretty stupid. And then he's gonna actually turn around and be the biggest probably Bitcoin you know, promoter, not that we need a promoter, but like a maxi, because he's going to say, oh, look, thank you for all these people who sent me Bitcoin for my strategic reserve now that my gold is worth nothing. And they tried telling me for years, which he
Right.
probably believed, but just wanted to engagement farm, you know. And, but I think that that's what it is he'll turn around and be like, for all the kindness he's receiving, even though he's such a toxic person to the entire community. You know, that's who knows what'll happen once, like, if gold is sold, because Bitcoin is demonetizing gold, you know? So he wants to keep shilling it. And then it's like, what happens when it's worth not a lot? What if it keeps dropping compared to Bitcoin? And then he's going to be happy that the little Bitcoin he got sent grew faster than his gold, you know? So yeah,
Yeah.
it's like kindness. Kindness of Bitcoiners is like to say happy birthday and actually send some sats to him, you know? Not that he
Yeah,
doesn't.
and I, you know, I wish they wouldn't, but I, you know, I'm an advocate for, you know, for stacking and keeping it,
Right.
right? I
Yeah.
mean, I, you know, I understand that, you know, to a degree, you know, we're going to be exchanging it and so on and so forth, like at some point, but we're not in world adoption yet. And you don't get there with you know, with a couple of microtransactions here and there. Like we're getting there, yeah. But the way that I see it, I'm, you know, outside of, you know, a couple of things here and there, once I truly feel like I've accumulated enough where I can actually exchange it and I don't feel like I'm, you know, throwing my future away, you know, and that sort of thing. Like everything that I'm stacking has nothing to do with me. Right, I'm not like my wallet is going to be lost at sea, only to be recovered possibly by my daughter. That's the way that I look at Bitcoin at this moment in my, you know, in my world, in my life.
And that is
Okay.
very, very good of you again to be a instant Bitcoin maxi. By instant, I mean, I know it took you a little time to get there, but at least you found it and didn't just get suckered a bunch of times on the way. But also the fact that you know that you're not going to just be Bitcoin only, and just you're trying to save it, and you're trying to save it for your future, for your daughter's future. So it's like that's another round of applause to just because a lot of people, they get into Bitcoin and they're like, oh, I buy it now, I sold some, now I'm going to try to buy it again cheaper, and now I'm screwed. You know, so it's like this
Right.
dollar cost average what you're doing, and it's like you're doing the smart thing. And you, I'm going to say it, like, it's amazing that you did that. And I'm sure there's a lot of others this cycle that are doing the same thing. And I'd like to hear, I think more people should share if they are one of those people, because that's incredible to hear that. I mean, I thought you've been in this space forever, you know?
Sometimes it feels that way. Well, in the sense of like actually being in the space. In X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, right? I had been there for a while, but I never talked to people till I got to Bitcoin. I never talked to people till I got to you and Michelle and Jeeves and AA and Alpha. I mean, these are all people who like made time for me, you know what I mean? And like that was a big deal mental health wise. You know, I was in some dark spaces, and I had started getting better, right? And as I was getting better, you know, that was when, you know, I had already started understanding enough of Bitcoin to say like, all right, well, you know, forego all of this other nonsense, right? But it wasn't until I really started, you know, becoming aware of like what was going on with myself and how I needed to take care of myself and like, all right, well, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, if this is gonna work, I have to be around. I have to be here to stack it, right?
I love that you're saying that, because when we talk about Bitcoin being hope for the future, it's like you wanted to start taking care of yourself first. And then you said, because I'm going to be around, now I have to find a way that what's going to help me while I'm around, what's going to be beneficial for me because I'm right. going to stick around. I'm going to be here for the long haul. Sometimes right. it happens the other way around, where because you find Bitcoin and you see that there's hope for the future, you decide to then help yourself because you realize I need to stick around. I need to be healthy and I need to be here and enjoy this life because there is hope for the future. So they go hand in hand. Right. You know, the mental health could help you discover that you need to take care of yourself. Then you look for the answer of what will be here for me. And right. and also it's just like this community that you found. It's like as you're going down this wormhole of a rabbit hole that you did, it's like you just were going through all this stuff, this self-discovery mode, this like self like help, this, you know, on discovering Bitcoin, all of that at the same time. And then you found this community because in real life, when people aren't understanding your orange pill wormhole moment and your what's happening with you and this huge reshifting of your perspective on life and all this stuff, then you find a group of friends who actually understand it and know why you're doing it and understand what you're going through, and you could actually talk to about it. And it's a fun place to be because people get it, you know? So that's why from going from a time where you're like, oh, the internet, it was like, it was fun, but whatever. But it's just like, here's something that now with this newfound passion, because it's, you know, actually something beneficial for the future. Like you found this and it's actually like, now I enjoy spending time there when I can, because in the real world is we're not yet at main adoption for you to find more friends in real life that kind of get you.
Yeah, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're all, because I mean, realistically, we're all kind of subject still to, mm-hmm. you know, to the powers that be. Mm-hmm. And we're slowly trying to do something about that. Mm-hmm. But it's not, I mean, it's not easy for somebody who's, you know, who's in their first cycle to be, you know, to be realistic. I mean, maybe even second cycle, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You know, we had a huge jump to 109, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're kind of coasting in this 84 kind of limbo. And it's, you know, it, like, that's the thing. It's fantastic for me, mm-hmm. right? You know, cause it gives me a chance to stack little by little. And then, you know, and then the next cycle, it's, you know, it's going to be a whole different ballgame, or, you know, however it runs. Right. But the one thing that if I really, all right, one thing that could back to all the way back to the beginning of this podcast, right. Mm-hmm. What am I passionate about? I'm passionate about every single fucking human being mm-hmm. can get this. You don't have to be a physics major. You don't have to be, you don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be anything. You could be, like I said, just another bozo on the bus. And all you have to do is just pay the fuck attention. Mm-hmm. Just pay attention. Just look at how people, look at who wants to be your friend, and look at who wants to sell you a bag, and look at who wants to make sure you're doing your push-ups today. Mm-hmm. The proof of work. Look at who wants to tell you that, you know, oh, you're not paying attention, you know, this is the next big thing, and this is going to 10x, and you're going to feel like such a fool when and look who wants to help you grow mm-hmm. on X. Mm-hmm. Look who's putting your name out there and saying, follow this guy because I said so, because I'm cool, right? And this guy's cool, and or maybe we're not cool. Fuck it, who wants to be cool? Cool is stupid. Yeah. Be like us. Right. Be cool, don't be cool. Whatever you do, just follow this guy. Help him get to his help him get to his next couple of impressions. Help him get to his next couple of followers. Mm-hmm. Look who's caring about your life. Look who's celebrating what you do. Mm-hmm. Look who sees the sunrises that you post and says, oh my God, this is gorgeous. And look who say, oh, how's your trade going, bro? are you making thousands of dollars today? Because I got this secret. If you come with me, man, I got the inside.
He's a drug dealer.
Yeah, dude. Look who wants you to thrive, and look who wants to sell you a bag. Mm-hmm. For real. If you that's the only, honestly, that's the only like prerequisite right there. Like, if you can't get that, then yeah, you are a shitcoiner. And you're subject to shitcoining rules, and you're subject to a shitcoiner's fate. Okay? But you don't have to be a super intellectual to look at that and say it's bullshit.
You have to have good intuition.
When I was locked down, when Killer B was locked up, man, you know, when I did the 3-day tier, right? Like, what did I do? I said, all right, let me, am I going to piss and moan, or am I going to just like, you know, am I going to get back at a way that makes sense to me? So I wrote a little stupid story. Killer B is a superhero, right? And, that name runs so deep for me. It's so fun. I'm finding it like almost in the same way at Bitcoin. I'm finding little gems here and there about like why Killer B worked at so many levels for me personally.
Well, I love it because my husband had gotten me a hat one time that said Queen Bee, and I'm trying to find it. It's like one of those Gurren Brothers hats that's like with the goat. You know how you have the goat on the front or the black sheep.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
My Queen Bee hat, but like. When I saw your Killer Bee name, it's like, it's awesome because I wonder when you changed to that too, like when you, because you've been on X for a while, but once you started becoming a Maxi, you put it as Killer Bee. But I like it because it's like the bee, obviously, for the Bitcoin bee, but it's like you are, you know, you are going to stand up for it. You're going to, you know, not argue, but you're not going to like let shitcoiners like don't mess with me. Like I'll sting you. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like,
get the fuck out of my hive. Like, yeah. I mean, like, and I'll admit this, right. You know, and I'm again, telling on myself, cause it's proof of work. I want to be accountable. Mm-hmm. When I see someone join the army and they have a dot soul in their name or a dot ETH, that's my first thing is like, I'm like, who the fuck is this? Who the fuck do you think you are?
Do a little research and check on
them. Yeah, what's this ETH bullshit I'm hearing about? Like, I'm not gonna go and follow somebody if they're like, oh, Web3, and I've got some crypto influencer insight, and I'm like, oh man, like, all right, I want to be faithful to the army first and foremost, right? But,
it's good to double check just to see her.
Yeah,
you just got in here, but you know, you're a killer bee. It's like, I guess you become a killer bee when you take that. Fast track through the rabbit hole. You know, it's like you just like literally are like on, you know, you're on people, you're making sure, you know, you're protecting protecting your group, you know, your crew. And
yeah, like cyber hornets are cool and shit, and I get it, but I'm on the motherfucking attack. Like, you do not mess with my army. You do not mess with, you know, you do not mess with my maxis. If you want to see toxic, you don't need to look further than me. I'm the toxic. Mm-hmm. Fucking
and
Avenger.
You're the nicest, one of the nicest too that there ever is too. But you, right. You know, you should be proud of that. You should be proud that you have gotten to this level of maxi toxic maxiness that you bypassed all that stuff. You know,
I didn't have to lose my last $500 and stare at a gun and make a choice.
And you proved me wrong because I've said something before. And I was pretty sure that this was true. I thought, you know, shitcoining is a rite of passage to becoming a maxi, I've said. I thought that people needed to go through that pain to understand the value of Bitcoin. And now I know that I was wrong about that. And I'm happy to know
that. No, see, I can't say that that's incorrect, right? Because if you really look at it, what is shitcoining?
Gold, yeah, it could be houses, it could be whatever.
It could be right. It's I mean, we've all been subject to shitcoining in one way or another. I mean, it's more philosophical than it is, you know, whether it has to do with an actual token or a coin. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, we call, you know, we drag on Schiff and call him a shitcoiner, mm-hmm. you know, all day long. Because that's what he is.
Right.
Right. It's not that he does. It's not the factor of Bitcoin doesn't factor into it. It's what he's willing to do and how he's willing to treat other human beings to get that Bitcoin. Right. That's what makes him a shitcoiner. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of folks are saying, well, how, you know, you can, you know, buy this and 10x it and then sell it, and now you've got more money to buy Bitcoin. Yeah, I guess, but you're still a fucking scumbag.
Right. And what?
You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool, but you don't get respect from me for that. You're not a maximalist if you're willing to, like, a Bitcoin maximalist sees the future, right? A Bitcoin maximalist is tired of this bullshit. That's what makes them a maxi, right? In my eyes. I mean, maybe I have the wrong of it. And no, if I do, then, oh, well, you know what I mean?
It's one thing besides like, okay, let's trade. Let's make sure we get the trade timed right. Let's get out at the right time. I know how to do it properly. So nobody is the great. You 70% of the time, you might be okay at it, but then you might lose the other 30%. But being a Bitcoiner is that whole thing about like, it's a simple life. Like I just keep dollar cost averaging. I stack and hold. And then it's like, you don't have to deal. You because your time is valuable and because Bitcoiners understand that your time is valuable, you're not going to sit there being a trader all day, like every single day. You don't have to do that anymore. You can save your time and just, you know, Bitcoin and prosper, you know, that's it. Just save your money in that and save your time. Don't sit there by computer. You could be working out. You could be doing your pushups. You could be spending time with your daughter. You don't have to be trading on the computer, trying to make sure you exited, you know, before you lost all your money and covered your shorts and all that bullshit, you know?
Yeah. And it's not that I don't have respect for people who trade or anything like that. Like that, I mean, that's really like, it's a different animal to me. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything that isn't Bitcoin is shitcoining, right? It just means that it's the nature of how you do it. Like if you're trading, just trading, then you're a trader.
But then it's like, that's how they choose to spend their time is like, okay, fine. I agree with you. We don't want to be so toxic or just smack talking about it. But I feel like people that trade, it's like, okay, maybe they enjoy doing it. Maybe it's a fun hobby for them. But I feel like there could be other hobbies that could be more fulfilling than spending your time trading all day, you know, just.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't have the mental fortitude to sit and watch number go up and number go down and sit there and bet on, you know, one thing I've noticed is like it almost doesn't matter what the news is about Bitcoin. The market reacts like a fucking potato. The market is filled with people and people can be fucking stupid. It's just I'm not to say like, you know, all of humanity is fucking lost and hopeless or anything like that, but when you put fear of the economy, you put recession, what the Fed's going to do, what the unemployment rate is, and all this and that and the third, the market's not going to react intelligently because you're not talking about one or two fucking human beings who can look at something and say, oh, well, I could see that's not really that big of an issue. You're looking at a bunch of, like, what happens when there's a hurricane? What happens to the supply of, like, toilet paper and water? Go to Walmart. It's gone. That's how the market reacts. They don't react intelligently. So you can't expect you can't expect the numbers to match intelligence. Right. It doesn't work that
anything
way.
Anything could happen and it could cause like you to just miss out on that opportunity you just had. And and you could be like shorting or longing and all of a sudden you're broke, you know.
What is a black swan event?
Let me pause this mic for a second because my kids are coming back and I feel like we could totally talk again, because this was amazing. I feel like, I don't know if you thought it was going to go this
right. No, I was imagining, I feel like we had gone through like a couple of things we were going to talk about, and then a couple other things we were going to talk about, and I'm ready for part two whenever you are. This has been a blast. I absolutely love this.
This is so much fun. I feel like we could do it like, I mean, the schedule is a little bit busy at the beginning right now, but I feel like I don't care. Like whenever you want to book again, it's like, this has been, I like talking like this. Like I like feeling like it's nice to have all different types of people on the show, but it's just nice to be able to talk freely and just discuss things that we want to discuss. And I like how it just went wherever it went. Like we just let the conversation flow. And that's my favorite thing ever.
I think that there's tons of like super important conversations that need to be had. And I do think that you are the one to bring those stories to light. And that's why I am very like being supportive of you is more than just a friendship thing. It's more than just like an allegiance thing because like you're one of the cool people on X that I've made friends with. I really do. I see the value in what you do. I see the value in the podcasts that you've done with others. And then when you said you were going to start doing your own, I was like, yeah, dude, like, that's what you should be doing. Like, this is cool. Like, this is going to be awesome. And you know what I mean? So while I do enjoy, you know, I enjoy, you know, hanging out, talking with you, I do understand, obviously, that you've got to get to some, like, real in-depth, you know, conversations, mm-hmm. But I will be there to fill in the space in the meantime and talk some bullshit about shit and whatever.
Yes, just like vent about it. That'd be absolutely. I mean, now you're gonna have me go check up on what he wrote now after this.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's fine. But one of my main messages, I do want to just kind of end on that note. One of my main wet messages is I really want to just get that out there. Like, you can be, you know, you could be on your last leg, you know what I mean, and this hopeless, you know, I'm 45, you know what I mean, and like I should have had, you know, an estate and, you know, millions of dollars, and I should have been the most successful American in the face, you know, the history of America, but I'm just some guy, mm-hmm. right? If I can get this, anybody can get this.
Me too.
You know, so that's like that's the thing I want to really end it on.
Yes. No, thank you for, I want to definitely make some highlights of these so people can remember these, because they really resonate with people. If they see the whole show, it's cool, but I want to keep putting up these little clips to get people to kind of remember some of these important points. And yeah, I feel like it's for anybody, and I'm proud of you for just being one of those like instant maxis, and I'm going to definitely refer to you as going down a wormhole forever now instead of a rabbit hole, because awesome. It was like light speed.
You know, I love it.
Yeah.
I feel very futuristic for that. So I feel like I can hang with some of the folks who know what the Fifth Dimension is.
I mean, for you to be like, well, guess what? You know, how many of you have done this? You know, so, you know, that's definitely something to brag about.
You can study time travel, or you can be an accidental time traveler like yours truly, you know?
Right.
So it's all good.
That's exactly right. So yeah, for sure. I want to do this again, because we definitely covered a whole bunch of stuff, and I feel like we could have just talked about a ton more. So, And I love that that I can, you know, have a place for people in our community that could just come and talk and just feel like it's like we're just hanging out and talking about whatever it is you feel like talking about. So this has been super fun. I hope you had a good time, and this went really great. And I can't wait till everyone sees it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had an absolute blast.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'll be seeing you soon, and I can't wait to post your highlights.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.